thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Andrew Foster here with us from Harvell & Collins. And Andrew, a little sigh of relief after tax day is done.
That's right, Ben. Yeah. Glad to get it behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope everyone out there was able to meet the April 18th deadline. But, you know, part of it is that I hear this a number of times a year, individuals saying, well, I didn't file because I was going to owe something.
Uh-huh. Right.
And you know, and then I quickly tell them, I'm like, well, the problem with that is that you're not only accruing penalties on what you owe,
mm-hmm.
It's like, but you also get your failure to file penalty as well.
Yeah.
So really, you know, I want to encourage everyone, even if you think you may owe some taxes, to go ahead and get that filing made, because right now you'd only be susceptible to a late filing penalty for the first month.
Right.
5%.
Right.
The longer you let this drag out, and you didn't get your extensions, now you're late.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to keep compounding on itself.
Can you file for an extension late?
No.
No, you have to file for that.
You have to file for it on time. So you'd be subject to 1 month's worth of penalty at this mm-hmm. point in time. But 1 month's a heck of a lot better than kicking the can down the road and waiting 3, 4, 5 months.
Years. Or years.
Or years. That's right. We see that as well. Yeah. Just go ahead and bite the bullet. And so one of the things I want to talk about this morning is that, you know, what are your options if you're one of those people who's sitting out there saying, oh, I didn't file because I'm going to owe,
mm-hmm.
or I do owe taxes. You know, what can I do? And you know, the first thing I always say is that in order to get out of the enhanced collection action, you know, the levies, the possible liens,
right.
You need to get into a status with the IRS. And so first we're going to go through some options with the service itself. And the first one we come up with is the installment agreement. In the installment agreement, Ben, if you owe less than $50,000, you can actually go online to the mm-hmm. IRS website and set up an installment agreement right there on the website.
Yeah.
There's a form as well that you can certainly submit to the IRS, 9465.
And basically, if you go online, they're filling that form.
Exactly.
Out for
you're
you.
Filling yeah. the form out just yeah. in digital form and you're sending it in. And there's two ways to get the installment agreement. One is, where you write a check every month,
mm-hmm.
To the service and pay that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have the direct debit installment agreement, which is just where they're going to debit your bank account every month for a set amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's a little bit cheaper as far as the fees to get started with the installment agreement.
Right.
They like that, of course, because they don't have to worry about processing a check payment every month. It just automatically comes out.
One robot talks to another robot, and they get it done.
That's exactly right. So they encourage you to do that by lessening the fees a little bit on the direct right. debit installment agreement. But, you know, those are two options. If you owe more than $50,000, then you're looking at the possibility of having to file, you know, information, a 433F. Financial statement,
mm-hmm.
which just goes over what your income, what your assets, what your expenses, all of that needs to be put down. And then you can come up with a number that you can afford to pay. And
mm-hmm.
the good news with the IRS is that in running these numbers, unless you're really up against the 10-year collection statute,
mm-hmm.
They work with you pretty well as far as making sure that what you sign up for with that installment agreement, you know, you can afford to pay it. Now, you know, the thing is, you can't miss payments on it, Ben. I mean, if
right.
you choose to do the send in your check and you have to send it by the 25th every month, you better make sure you send it by the 25th every month or else you're going to default on that installment agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And if you default on it, then it's difficult to get back into it again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what they say is that it's not good tax policy or good compliance policy for us to allow you to keep getting back on installment agreements when you just breach them.
Yeah.
So just bear that in mind. Make sure that your payment is manageable. Make sure that you know you can make that payment
mm-hmm.
by the date that you set. And then you can always pay more. But make sure, you know, I always encourage people to get on kind of a low payment installment agreement. And in that way, you know, look, make sure you have enough in reserve to make this payment every month. And then, you know, if you save up and you have a little bit of money and you want to try to attack the tax debt a little bit more, send in an extra payment, you know, or send in $500 or extra or $1,000 extra, whatever you can afford. But the bottom line is make sure.
You can track that. You can track that too on the IRS website, I think.
Yeah, just make sure that you can pay the minimum amount that you agree to in that installment agreement so you will not be in breach and then you can get through that. Partial pay installment agreements, full pay installment agreements, which they give you six years basically is a full pay installment agreement. They can spread the debt out over that long a period of time. So there are options. Mm-hmm. There's some light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, with an installment agreement. A second option is the offer and compromise. And we mentioned that before. You hear all on commercials all the time.
Right.
Settle your tax debt for less than what you actually owe.
And all these companies are doing the advertising exactly what you can do.
Offer. That's right. And so I always tell people be wary a little bit about these companies. I mean, sometimes you know, this isn't it's a great program, but it's not for everybody. And the problem is that yes, if you owe more than $10,000 in tax debt, you could be eligible for an offer and compromise, but it really depends on what your assets and income are. Because keep in mind, the IRS is there to try to collect a debt, and yeah, they're willing to work with you if you can show that you know, there's not a real likelihood that you'll be able to pay this debt, within a reasonable time. And so then, yeah, you can put down your assets, you can put down your income. But if you start putting down your assets and you look and you see that you have enough assets there to pay your debt in full, it would mean, you know, taking out an equity line in your house or moving some money around, that they're going to require you to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times I meet with individuals who say, well, I want to get that offer and compromise. And after a few short, quick questions, I determine they're not eligible for an offer and compromise, and I steer them more in the direction of an installment agreement.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is I don't really want to waste their time. 80% of installment agreements, 80% of offer and compromises don't get accepted.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You're about a 20% rate. It's come up a little bit. It's about 30% now. But the fact is, the reason they always get rejected is you've got these taxpayers who are out there who, decide to file the offer and compromise thinking it's a little pie in the sky, so to speak. And they ultimately get rejected. Now,
well, one of the things that happens, I would imagine, is that assets aren't liquid.
Yeah.
But they say even if you have to sell it at a loss, you do have the asset.
That's right. You have the asset. And if it's, you know, if you've got some equity in that asset, you may not want to sell it, but they're going to require you to sell it. And a lot of times what they do is they look at the collection potential on an asset at around 80% of what the value is going to be because they realize that, hey, you know, you go sell that car, you're not going to get the full value for it potentially.
Right.
You go sell that house, you may have to sell it, you know, a little bit less than what you think you can get for it. So that's what they're looking at a lot of times on your offer and compromise paperwork.
Because I would imagine a lot of times when this happens, whatever situation got them into that debt,
they
often have a house for sale or they have some land for sale and it just hasn't sold.
That's right.
So.
Yeah.
Now you're gonna have to sell it cheap.
Gonna have to back off a little bit and go down if that's what you need to do in order to get your tax debt satisfied.
Because the asset will still count against you.
Your asset will count and your income will count. 2 years worth of income. They've really developed. They've lessened before the offer and compromise standards were a lot tougher and more stringent. They really have lessened them a little bit and realized, you know, like yeah, there are facts and circumstances exactly as you're bringing up, Ben, where you know. You're not going to get as much money for maybe a piece of land, if you keep holding out. So let's value it at less than what the fair market value is. Instead of taking multiple years of income, we'll let you take 1 year of income or 2 years of income, and looking at what your offer should be. So, you know, they definitely have moved in the right direction. The service has and getting the standards appropriate. To allow taxpayers to get their offer and compromise accepted. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the fact of the matter is if you start looking at your assets and you realize you've got some available, they're going to require those assets to be sold and the equity to be used to help pay down the debt. So just be aware of that. It's not for everybody, but it is a possibility that's out there. And, you know, as I said, the standards are a little bit lessened. So the idea that you can get this offering compromised approved is definitely a possibility.
Do you have any sense of how many taxpayers fall into this category?
Well, I mean, what I'd say is that this is really for the ones that have a high debt. I mean, you know, you're talking about big debt, and then you're talking about usually either a change in circumstances. I mean, you know, like when the housing bubble hit,
right?
You know, something like that, where you went from a taxpayer who was probably making really, really good money, you know, and all of a sudden, boom, it just fell off a cliff, and you know,
and obligations are coming due.
The obligations are coming due. That's exactly right. So a scenario like that is a prime example of where an offering compromise would fly. I mean, that would definitely be a situation. Or, you know, health problems. You know, you're working, you're steady working, you got a job, you got some tax debt that you've been working on paying, and then boom, something happens medically to you, and then now you're no longer able to work, and your income's significantly less.
Does bankruptcy affect that offer?
It can. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can. And you know, you have to look at and see what your bankruptcy plan is and everything else. And, you know, if you can get your taxes put into the bankruptcy in some way, shape, or form, depending on which chapter you're in, you know, that can help. And so that's definitely a possibility, is bankruptcy to help with your tax debt as well. It's just, we talked about those stringent rules that you got to meet in order to.
And that's a long-term.
That's right.
Issue.
Yeah.
You know, you don't come out of it right away. So. Yeah. Yeah, so that's something only when you have a long-term effect there.
Yeah.
8:44 in the morning here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240 with Andrew Foster from Harvell and Collins as we talk about your life and taxes. And so how long, you know, when somebody has realized that if they act in this first month, no matter how far they are into the month, it's going to be a month worth
of
penalty. It's not counted by days.
That's right. Yeah, it's a month worth of penalty, and so you go
any part of the month.
Any part of the month is going to be the full 5% for failure to file, and you know you get it, whatever your amount due is. Mm-hmm. You honestly can wait. I mean, they're going to start sending you letters saying you owe this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, you owe this.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you owe this, and then eventually you're going to have to get in one of these statuses that I'm talking about this morning.
Okay. If you want to find out more, you want to contact the folks at Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law to get your answers to your tax questions there too. And you can email Andrew A. Foster at harvellandcollins.com. We'll have more to come in a moment here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station.